Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. We pray. Lord God, in a world of brokenness and restlessness, we give you thanks that you bring to us by your grace your gift of peace and the place of peace and rest. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds that we might be awake and ready for your coming to await with joyful expectation that which you have prepared for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we are officially starting the first Sunday of Advent. Sorry, we don't have the Advent news up yet, but it's all right. Time of the church year where we focus on the return of Christ, and we also celebrate that he has come, and he's come as a baby in Bethlehem, and he's come to bring us that peace already, something that will possess the peace with God in our hearts and minds. Well, we're justified by faith in him so that we have peace with him through Jesus Christ. And so that's why the color is blue. It's an expectation of looking to the sky, waiting for Christ to come through the clouds to return to bring us home. The question I have for you is, where do you think when you hear the word home? Maybe it's not such an easy question to answer. Maybe it gets more difficult when so many homes nowadays maybe aren't really the place of peace and rest that you might desire. But especially in our society, I think we live in a restless place with electronic digital age that makes us always on the go, and there's always something to do. There's always more to get done, or something more to watch, or something more to buy, or something more to watch on YouTube or something like that. It creates this endless restlessness, it seems, amongst us when we have so much. Yet the very thing that we desire the most sometimes feels elusive. A place where we can call home. A place where it's peace and rest. And that I feel secure and safe. And really, everybody needs a place called home. Even sociologists have shown that a safe and a stable home has a positive effect on child development. And as we grow older and as we become adults, I think we often recall fond childhood memories of when we were at home. Those memories with our loved ones, especially around the holidays, perhaps. When people we haven't normally seen come to visit our homes. But there's also maybe those times when we think back, those times when we want to run away from our home. Maybe there's those times there presently, or as we think back, that maybe we didn't really enjoy our home that much. Maybe we got really angry with something our parents disciplined us for, or maybe got angry with our siblings, or maybe it was we didn't get something we wanted, maybe we didn't like a curfew. I can remember one time, actually my sister, when I was living in Canada for a year, there was a few times when she ran away from home. We didn't know where she went. I think the reason was some kind of conflict with my father, but wasn't really anything that important. But I remember finding her one time, going out looking for her. We ended up finding her in this barn, just kind of hid by some hay, like crying and afraid, basically. And what did we say? Please come home. It's where we want you to be. And all cultures and all times and places have needed a place called home. It's not just us, it's not just America. We don't know a lot about the home life in Bible times, but we know that being on the road or being away from home was just as dangerous as it is today. And it might seem at times, even in our physical homes, that it's maybe a better place to be than not at home. We think, maybe if I was just on my own, and maybe if I ran away, or maybe if I could just make my own rules, that would be better. That would be a better place. But when we look into our hearts, we see that there's quite nothing like heading home and coming to a home of place and rest. We can kind of extend this imagery to our eternal lives. Because as we see during the season of Advent, especially, God calls us home. He's calling us home to be awake and ready to come to our eternal place of rest, that eternal home that He's preparing for us, that He's won for us. And sometimes in our lives, it seems like it's not where we need to be. It seems like, boy, I just keep doing that sin. I keep doing the deeds of darkness, giving into my immorality, giving into my impurity, giving into my desire for more money, desire for something more to buy. I could just get rid of this restlessness that I have in my heart. And God's word, maybe it's just not the answer. Maybe I just need to live by my own word, live by my own understanding of what's true. We can end up straying from our home. We can end up with suffering. We can end up with a restless heart. We can end up with worry and despair, maybe a false sense of security. And while the Lord is here to tell you today, there's no place like home. There's no place like the home that He gives to you. In this picture of Isaiah, it's the home of the people of God. It's not just a place, it's not just a city that it was back then in 740 B.C., or is really the centerpiece of the kingdom of Israel, or the place where they could go and know, this is our home as the people of God. This is the place of the temple. This is the place where God dwells. This is the place where we can be safe and secure. And as long as we have the temple in Jerusalem and the presence of God, we have a safe home. But ironically enough, Isaiah writes these words when the nations aren't really exactly flowing and streaming into Jerusalem. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They're going towards Jerusalem to kind of destroy it. You had the nasty Assyrians who would destroy the northern kingdom of Israel in 731-32 B.C., people weren't beating their swords into plowshares. They were beating their swords and making more swords, sharpening their swords. It's important that we understand the context of why Isaiah gave this message and when he gave it. Because he doesn't just give it to them because they're already experiencing these things necessarily. He gives it to them in the midst of conflict, in the midst of times when people going away from their home, from the word of the Lord. They were going to their own words. They were going to other nations to find their security, trying to build alliances with other foreign pagan nations to protect them from other foreign invaders. They had false senses of security that since they had so much wealth that they would be safe. They would have a safe home. They were threatened on their doorstep with enemies. And it's in here, in this situation, that Isaiah gives us a picture of the end. In the last days, in the latter days. This is how it will be. It will be the mountain of the Lord that's lifted up higher than anyone else. The name of God will be exalted above every other name in His people. And people will come to Zion, to this place of Jerusalem, to hear the word of the Lord that He would teach us His ways. That the word of God will go out from this place to teach the nations. And the result of that will be peace that we long for. That swords get beat into plowshares, that spears get beat into pruning hooks, agricultural tools, right? You're not going to use in war. You're not going to go to war with a bunch of plowshares. It's not going to work too well, probably. But it's a picture of how things will be when it seems like you're not in the right home. Isaiah gives his people a reminder that God really is the home of His people, both now and forever. And it's only through Him that we have that true peace that we long for, that we desire. And you see, this is something that we even experience now. But it says, in verse 4, He shall judge between the nations and decide disputes for many people. It comes from God Himself doing that. Coming as the judge to bring peace. This is what happens when Jesus comes to the cross. So literally, He takes upon Himself all of God's judgment. All of that judgment for all of our wickedness, all of our strain, and trying to make for ourselves another home. And for ourselves, a peace and rest apart from God. He judges that and He brings it all on Christ. Lays upon Him all that sin, all that punishment that we deserve. So that He can be lifted up. Lifted up on a cross for all the world to see. Jesus says in John, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all nations to myself. And that's what's begun ever since the resurrection of Jesus. So literally this message of the cross of life and peace with God has become like a banner to all people who are looking for a home, a place of peace, a place of rest, a place of security, a place of identity, of love. And it's that that draws people home. Because we can try every other self-help book, we can try every thing that we can buy, we can try accumulating enough money, try having enough relationships and fame, but we'll never build a home like the one that God has built for us through Christ. A place where He reigns over us completely with perfection, with truth, with righteousness, with exactly what we need, and in perfect love and in perfect peace. And right now, in these days of Advent preparation, we celebrate that we have that home. It's already begun. We have actually a time and a place that we gather together as a people of God. Isn't it a miracle that we all could gather here on Sunday and all of you could have thought of other excuses to do? Yet God has gathered you here. That's why you're here. It's not an accident. He's gathered you here to remind you of your home. To remind you that when you're gathered under His cross and under His word, you're gathered in a place of peace. That even in the midst of the world closing in and trying to conform you and shape you into its mold, and people that attack the name of Christ, and people that say it's a lie, God brings us here and says, I am your peace. I am your home. And you know that through looking at what I've done for you. So you have this picture too of knowing that home, knowing that peace, then God sending us out. Literally the word of God going out to all the nations. It's a beautiful picture of what we do here in the church. God gathers us together as His people and He sends us out to bring the word to the nations. So that even through Christ in us, they see Jesus, they see the cross lifted up, drawing everybody to home. Magnetism isn't found in ourselves, it's not found in our own ideas, but it's found in the house of Jacob walking in the light of the Lord. That's why it's so beautiful in this promise of home, of the new creation, of heaven and earth becoming one. Because we will only walk in the light of the Lord. This is what draws people to Christ. Is when we as His people walk in the light of the Lord and bring that message of forgiveness and grace to people that are restless, searching for peace. We walk in the light of the Lord because we know ultimately how this story is going to end. When you're restless about what's going on now, when you're restless about what might happen, remember how it ends. In peace and rest, in the eternal security of the home of a new creation. The home where we'll walk in the light of God's presence forever. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You just take a moment to write down or to think about, as a result of hearing God's word, what's He giving you to do or believe as a the result of hearing his word? What is he giving you today to do or believe? Thank you.